Before I tell you about Guam, my family's on Singing Special tonight. And Brother Brubaker, that was our, where's he at? Our song on deputation, that was our family song. And we changed, y'all might have remembered it, we changed verse 2 to "We have heard the Micronesian call." That's where we went. So we always sing, "We've heard the Micronesian call." And I'm going to let them sing this song and then we'll get back up here. To introduce my family, but me and my wife didn't come up here, and so I'll just tell you who they are. We are your missionaries to the Micronesian island of Guam. I told you this morning it's about 8,000 miles away from here, give or take a few. Long flight over there. Guam is where America's day begins, and I believe we had, was it David there? And I'm looking at David. I got it right, finally. Okay, David's been to Guam, so he's probably giving y'all a little bit of a feel for it. But Guam, geographically, it's way over there, 4 hours south of Japan, 4 hours east of the Philippines, 8-hour flight from Hawaii. You'll see that in the video in just a few minutes. But it's our home. That's where God has sent us. And we've been there over 8 years now. And we praise God for what He's doing there. We'll talk more about it in just a minute. I want to go ahead and show you our video. This will give you just a taste of Guam and our ministries there. It's pretty much going to open up with one of our children's ministry is the Luke 252 Club. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And you'll hear the kids, they're singing. And we use, you know, public domain. What's the name of the song? What? Happiness is to know the Savior. And we stuck in that verse there. Okay, so that's what they'll be singing if you're saying, what are they singing? And that's our Luke 252 song. So just give you a taste, a feel of what it's like over there and our ministry there, and then I'll come up and talk more about it and hopefully have some questions. right, so that's Guam. Any questions? I'm opening up to questions first. That's you. Yes, ma'am. We have air conditioning, but we run it very little. The power is so high over there. We run it during church when it's working, and we try to run it at night so that we can sleep. Guam is very hot. It's always in the upper 80s to low 90s. It's very humid, and when it really gets wet and stuff, it's just hot. So our last power bill was over $900. So it averages in the 800 range. So we have to watch out for how much air condition we use. It's kind of, you go from one air conditioned place to another when you're out there. But we're getting used to it. After 8 years, I'm kind of like an islander. They say, what's the big deal? But it's hot. Yeah, we have air conditioning. We don't in our church van. It's hot picking up kids and picking up folks. One of our cars doesn't have air conditioning. But when we left, we had a Honda Odyssey that air conditioning was working. So hope it's working when we get back. That's a good question. Yes. Yes, Logan.
What would you say is your biggest challenge in ministry to people?
The biggest challenge in the ministry over there? Well, as you saw, the Catholics have a stronghold that's mostly all the island, but particularly in the south where we're at, it's mostly family, one big Catholic church. That's what they know. They're always celebrating all kind of festivals and all kind of feast days and stuff like that. The statue you saw was Santa Maria Kamalan. She is the patron saint of Guam. She came up on a log in Maritza, which is our village, the southernmost village of Guam, like 400 years ago. And she's an apparition or something of Mary. And they virtually worship that doll. You saw it. And December the 8th, I believe, every year, she gets on her little caravan and they usher her around the island and all the villages, and everyone go out there and virtually bow down to her. They'll say they don't worship, anybody knows Catholicism, they'll say they don't worship Mary, but they do, and particularly there. So the biggest challenge is to be able to reach these Catholics, okay, in our village. That's just far the biggest challenge. Yes, ma'am.
What was the worst storm?
What was the worst storm we've had was the one you saw, Typhoon Mawar. You saw, if you was reading, right before it hit Maritza, or right before it was about to hit Maritza, it miraculously, God's in control of the winds and the sea. Through your prayers and people who were praying all around the world, that storm was over 200 miles per hour. And it was hitting Guam's a tiny, tiny speck there in the Pacific Ocean. So many of these storms don't make direct impact, but the outskirts of them hit us a lot. And we've had many of those since we've been there. But this one was heading right towards us. Matter of fact, I'll just go on. Our family asked permission to stay in the radio station, which was 2.5 miles, 3 miles up on higher ground, our theme song for our church. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground when the storms come, because we are sea level down there. We're sea level. So we went up there, and right before it was about to hit, the Lord steered it around the island. I mean, it's 35 miles south to north. So just right then, it went around the island, and the bad part of the winds hit the north up there, which 200 miles per hour. And the north tip of Guam is Anderson Air Force Base. So anybody who kept up with it like that knows that Anderson Air Force Base suffered a lot of damage. But we saw winds of 150 to 160. And we had two big old mango trees that were toppled. Our mango trees are gone. And a lot of papaya trees. We had banana trees toppled. And so that's the biggest storm that we've faced. But they can hit 3, 4, 5 times a year. So, yes, sir. The one in the back. I don't have a lot of contact with the military. You have Anderson Air Force Base, way northern tip. The whole northern tip of the island is Anderson Air Force Base. The Marines are relocated from Okinawa. Japan paid for it. They're right outside of Anderson Air Force Base. They're still coming in right now. The camp is almost finished. And then in the central part of the island, about 30 miles from us, over the mountains and everything, is Guam Naval Base. And the church that... the guy, I mentioned him this morning to someone, Brother Elwood Hurst, initially when I went over there to help him, he's the one that started Lighthouse Baptist Church right outside the gates of the Guam Naval Base. So us in particular down there, we've only had one couple with two children one time come visit us from Guam Naval Base. They just don't come down. So we don't have a military ministry. I know a pastor, dear friend of mine, who pastors Bethel Baptist Church right outside of Anderson Air Force Base. And then the other one is also near the gate, and they minister to the Navy. Yes, sir.
In what state would you compare Guam in size?
I think my wife yesterday asked that. Washington, D.C.?
Three times the size of Washington,
D.C. It's 35 miles north to south, 12 miles at its widest point. So it's a tiny island, but once you're on it, it's pretty big. Anywhere you go 35 miles, and you're not always on the coast, you don't see it all the time. But very small. Yes, sir. It varies. It varies. We've had 3, 4 in 1 year, but thankfully, like I said, since such a tiny island, they don't all hit directly. So we pray that that doesn't happen often. But any type of storm, typhoon, they're usually pretty big and they affect the island. They knock out the power. You know, the water gets no longer running and stuff like that. So they're pretty prominent, and especially the southern part. We're sea level. Up north, they're way up, and it doesn't affect them as much as it does us. Yes, ma'am.
Just to say, though, that the houses and buildings are built for that. They're cement, rebar,
yeah.
Flat roof. They're built for that. It's not the buildings that get damaged
as much as just the trees. Yeah, most of our house is 12 inches thick concrete. Ceiling, walls, and everything. Not everybody's that good, but how they began to build them over the years. A problem with why we moved out, I wouldn't have any concern about the house being knocked over or anything. It was weather forecast. They were forecasting 12 to 15 foot surge. Okay, and I'm from South Carolina. I know what big surges does to Myrtle Beach and stuff. It moves houses. So it was an evacuation to governor low-lying areas and south to get out. So that's why we moved up the hill. Yeah, just something to be expected there. Yes, ma'am. It's you. Well, when the storm hit, this last big one, we have one main road that comes to the south. Up north, you think you're in America. There's roads everywhere. But down there, there's only one main road that goes either side of the island, up north, either side. And since we were up at the radio station, when we were able to travel like 2 days later, if it wasn't for people having chainsaws and everything, trees were everywhere. And some of those trees stayed. You just had to go around one lane. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. The trees are big, and they got toppled, knocked over. Okay, and that knocks over a power line. That's why our power was out 21 days. And that's tough when it's that hot and that muggy and that wet. So.
But they brought in power people from California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On big ships, they brought in power trucks and yep. Or an airplane. We saw them get off the airplane.
Yeah, lots of power companies came from all around to try to get the power back on as quickly as possible. And really, they did a good job. They really did a good job. Because the whole island was just hit with 160 mile an hour winds, except Anderson, which got even stronger. That typhoon went on and hit the Philippines, and it was the strongest recorded storm to ever hit land when it hit. So, any other question? Yes, sir. That is a very good question. I want to tell you terrible, but it's not terrible. It's very, very expensive. There's not a lot of good doctors over there. The doctors are mainly from the Philippines. The nurses are mostly from the Philippines. They just can't get anybody over there to stay. And the salaries, from what I understand, are so low that when they do come, they can't get them to stay. Take for instance, I'll just share with you now my heart attack. God's perfect timing, having me in the States. I'll tell you about that later. But if I had been in Guam, if I hadn't got the call from my son and hadn't came to the States, I would have been in Mauricio. 2 months after I had my heart attack, there's a man and his family that we had been trying and trying and trying to come to church. Has 11 kids like me, about my age. I get word that he had a heart attack in his house. His son was there with him who knew CPR, gave CPR for 45 minutes. His son said, "I never stopped." The ambulance finally got there 45 minutes later, and it was too late. He had died. We've had a neighbor whose mother was sick. Was it during the storm when it took hours upon hours for a ambulance to get down there? And when we left in January, this island of over 200,000 people with many villages, three military bases, in the news, our ambulance service had five working ambulances. And then the article was about how do they make priorities. And it's not very good. It's not. If you want something major done and you live on Guam, you either fly to the States or go to the Philippines. I'm looking for water. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Praise God, it's English. The official language of Guam is English. It's an American territory. It's where America's Day begins. So the official language is English. The locals speak Chamorro, but they don't speak much. And there's so many languages over there. Like, we minister to the Chukis people a lot. A lot of the people you saw are Chukis. Kiowin over here is Chukis. Her dad, her family are all from the local island, the Federated Islands of Micronesia, who have this pact with Guam, the United States. They can come over freely and stuff, and they do come over. They speak Chukis. I don't know a word of Chukis. My children do. They even sing a song in Chukis. But the main language is English, and that's great for us. Everybody on Guam, all the children, everybody speak better English than I do. So that's good. Yes, ma'am, back there. I did not hear that question.
I saw pictures and there are many children.
Yes.
But then I saw few.
Well, the most men in one service we've ever had was 11 one time, and that was men. Most of our people are teens, children, and mothers. And I was going to tell you that there was two men you saw in that picture. One of them was Joe Sanchez. Is Deira, who was here in 2021's up at Wisconsin. Now it's her uncle. He was our most faithful man. He came to everything. We picked him up for every service, growing in the Lord, in a tough situation, not married, 11 children, but he was saved in 2020 and just growing. His girlfriend left him and immediately married some other man. So things were tough with Joe, but he was really loving the Lord, growing in the Lord, and just a diamond in the rough for us. And we really love Joe. And about a month ago, we get the call that from his daughter that he had a brain aneurysm and 2 days later passed away. Joe was worried when we left that we wasn't coming back. And I had to keep assuring Joe that I'm coming back. By God's grace, I'm coming back. We've got to go. Wedding, graduation, furlough, visiting churches. We've got to go. We're going to be gone 9 months, but Joe will be back. And now it tore me up. I almost, it was in the midst of Joseph's wedding preparation that I was trying to talk myself out of staying here and getting over there for him and the family. But I just couldn't do it. It was just days before Joseph's wedding. So we lost him, which is a big loss. And all of his children, many of which came to our church. It's going to be tough. There was another man there, the most faithful family minus the dad. The mother has never missed since they started 3 years ago. She's from Kosarai, another local island, and her five or six kids, they are just wonderful. The husband, though, Revis led him to the Lord 3 years ago. And the husband was growing. Revis left, and it was like, you know, yes, that's correct. That's correct. His son died. That was tough. His oldest son, Jesse, died. We had the funeral there at the church and everything. But he's been in trouble with the law for the last couple of years now. And how many remember seeing the guy with the white beard and the Santa Claus hat? Okay, he is the guy who runs the place where Kiowin lives, where we have a lot of our ministry there, Section 8 housing. And we have a lot of our teens and kids and families come from that. And this man runs it, and for 7 years, he wouldn't let us speak to him. If you brought up, he called me preacher man and preacher lady. And if we tried to share the gospel with him, he'd cuss us out. And he was bold and proud of cussing us out. And that's all they know down there. And this past November, we invited him to Thanksgiving. He absolutely could not believe it. He said, no one's ever invited me to anything. So he came. We had a real good time at our house. It was just our family and him had a real good time. Kind of opened the door to his ministering to him. He changed. He never cussed again. Just wanted to be a part of our life. Wouldn't come to church, but we invited him to our teen children's Christmas program. And he came. And he had his Santa Claus hat on. But after the service, immediately he called me over. We have it outside under our carport to accommodate. We had mayors there. We had teachers there. We had a mayor running for mayor who ended up winning, principal. We just had a great crowd, plus Augie. His name is Augie. And he pulled me to the side. He said, I want to let you know that a miracle took place tonight. Believe me, let me pause a minute. When he said that, I'm like, what is he going to say? A miracle? And I said this, and I said, well, I know God can only do miracles. And he said, well, it was a miracle tonight that you got all those kids and those teens to say all those parts and to sing all those songs without even books or papers. And you may not think that's that big, but the man, he knows the community. He knows these children who teachers have told us, I've seen a change in them. I've seen a difference in them because of Jesus Christ. So that was big. And, you know, anyway, he went on to give Noel. He fell in love. I hate to say it that, but he fell in love with Noel because Noel is 7 of 11. Something to do with Star Trek. I don't know what it is, but he's a big Star Trek. You don't know Star Trek? 7 of 11 or 7-Eleven. And no, she's 7 of 11. Oh, whatever. She's number 7-Eleven. So she calls him. He calls her 7-Eleven, and saw her playing or the guitar or something, and comes to find out. I never knew it, but he's got an apartment full of guitars. And he gifted her a guitar that she has here somewhere today. And she played it in a recital last year. So the Lord's opening the door there to that man. But there's other men's. Kiowin's dad comes to church. He doesn't come faithfully, but he comes to church. Just tell you about Kiowin real quick. Kiowin's been in our house since she was a baby. She's 10. She's been there over 8 years. We minister to her sister, her brothers, who one just turned 18, one I believe is 16, Jonathan. But anyway, Kiowin was saved a little while ago, and you saw her. She was one of the ones baptized there. And just not to get too much detail, we have close relationships with the judges over there, okay? The court system, with all kind of people. And it wasn't looking good right before we left that she was going to be taken and put into foster care somewhere else. And we did not want that to happen. So we talked to her dad, who was 100% for it, and then called the judge and the social worker and stuff. And they were all for it. So we are officially foster parents to Kiowin. And she's a blessing. She's blessing us. And when we get back, we've got some things to deal with and to work out, because he's, just living right down the road. And the judge asked us 2 weeks ago. We've had Zoom calls with him three times since we've been back, the 4 or 5 months we've been back. And she said, so what is your plan when you get back with Kiowin? And I said, well, my plan, and has been from the very beginning, to see a change in her dad, and that they would be able to reconcile. I mean, we love her, but she needs to be with her family. And it's only going to happen if her dad and her family does what needs to be done. And only one that can change that is Jesus Christ. So no, there's not a lot of men. We've had a lot of men, and I could go on and go on and go on. The changeover. People leaving, people moving to other villages, people in jail, all kind of things. But for the most part, it is a lot of teens, a lot of ladies. And that, Jesse put that together, oldest daughter put that together for us, because we was in such a hurry to get here. And we could show a lot more services where it's packed out and there's more men there. But that's what we got. Yes. Yes, Logan.
Do you have any people willing to witness to other people on Guam, or do you have people willing to seek higher education or at least higher knowledge of the Bible? Do they struggle to read? Or?
Oh, that's a multifaceted question there. Let's see. To read, there's a lot of kids can't read. Kiowin and her sister, that reason she's with us, because my wife taught her how to read, and others also. The lady I was talking about with the family got her kids started reading, put them in school and everything. They have a public school system. They have Catholic schools. They have a Christian school, Harvest Christian Schools, in the middle of the island. There's a lot of reading. As far as witnessing, yes, we have folks who love to witness. We have some. The last picture you saw was three teenage girls, sisters, who are just a blessing to us. They write to us as we've been gone and everything. They keep up with us. They pray for us. And they love to go out soul winning. They absolutely love it. So, yes. And over the years, but it's primarily us that does that. This is just in our church and down there in the local village. You brought up all of Guam. Guam, you know, it's a lot of places there. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, before COVID, the number one industry is always the military. Without the military, Guam probably wouldn't be much, okay? But when COVID hit, the number two industry was tourism. I mean, millions coming in each month, in the millions each month. That is down 80, 85% now. So the hotel industry, the all the rides and restaurants, all that. I used to tell people before COVID that if I dropped you in the middle of Tuman, that's up there where all the tourism hotels and restaurants, you would think you're in Las Vegas on that one street. All the different hotels, all the different restaurants, all the Rolexes and Louis Vuitton, all these stores. It's just a different place right there. But none of that has recovered. And Guam is seeing the results of it. So it's mostly military now. And, you know, there's like I was a plumber, there's plumbing companies, there's printing companies, there's every company we have around here, they're there. But in the South, there's nothing but mom and pop grocery stores. I say grocery stores, it's half the size of this size here. There's one gas station in the South. And for the most part, a good majority of the island is on welfare.
Fishing.
What's that?
Fishing.
There is fishing. There's a lot of fishing. There's people who make a living fishing. We don't get to fish that much, believe it or not. It's very rocky, coral, and the waters are actually dangerous. When we first got there, a local told us, don't get in those waters. Marines and professional swimmers have died out there, and we've been there 8 years, and it's probably in the hundreds now of the people who have died in the waters off of Guam because how they... But there's safe places. There is safe places. Yes. Yes, sir.
Were your prodigy homeschooled?
My kids, from the beginning. From the beginning. My wife has been the teacher. I'm the administrator and the principal. I have to administrate discipline and stuff like that. Probably haven't done it enough. But, yeah, from the beginning. And God's been good. God's been good. It's a blessing to be able to homeschool. And we've homeschooled since we was in South Carolina. And the kids there, they want us to start a Christian school. They want to be a part of that homeschool, Lighthouse Christian Academy. So, Gospel Light Christian Academy. Yeah, I get that right. I just had graduation last week. We had our seventh graduate from Gospel Light Christian Academy. She finished, huh?
Eight counting
Deira. Eight counting Deira, that's correct. Deira did graduate from Gospel Light Christian Academy there in Guam. And we've always had the top of the class in our school. One a year. These are good questions. This is Henderson family. This is Guam. Well, I'll tell you one that's right off the top of my head. When we first went there, there was another missionary there. That was the one I went to work with. I went out with him and another man in the church, and they went by the places that we minister to now. They said, we're not going there. And at the time, it hit me. It's like, what? It's like a faction between certain groups over there. And his thing was, I came to minister to the Chamorros. Well, there's just as many other groups in Rizzo, especially, and everywhere on the island now, than there is as Chamorros. Chamorros are local. And so we know that God created these people, and he wants to save these people from their sin. So we reach anybody and everybody. Even the Mormons. We have a Mormon in our church. She's saved now. Her mom and dad's not. But they allow her to come to our Bible club. She's a teen now. And she was saved in our Bible club. And she loves our church. And she comes as many times as they let her come. So another aspect of it is, like I said earlier, you know, this Maritza, where we're at, is a lot of family. Everybody's related to one another. So you've heard of, if someone gets saved, you know, the they get disowned. That's pretty much how it is. They just don't want to break off from their Catholicism. They really don't. Yes, ma'am. No. I think certain aspects of it, certain parts of it is, because I, like I said, a majority is on government welfare, but it's a little America. So no more than some of the more poorer cities in America. And then, like I said, before COVID, it was just booming. Everyone in Asia, everyone in Japan, Philippines, even Australia, if they wanted to go to America and they're not real rich and they can't afford it, well, the next best thing is Guam. That's the closest America territory. So they'd come to Guam and buy Guam goods and everything, USA, America, that's what you see over there. And but yeah, again, COVID is a big impact. You would think even some of the infrastructure, a lot of places are run down because it's not good management over there. It's like I call it a small California. Really, all of the governors, most of the ones who are in power are Democratic. That's changing a little bit, but yeah. It's not a third world country. A lot of times I call it that, how they do things over there. Yes, ma'am. Miss Wheatery.
Do you get much opposition from the Catholic Church?
Not from the Catholic Church. No. Not from the Catholic Church. But like I said, the ones who are diehard Catholics, they don't want to speak to you. They don't want to talk to you about the things of God. And I've shared this many times. I've talked to several people going door to door, and they're talking to me, they listen, they know who I am and everything, and all of a sudden they got to go do something. They come back with rosary beads, you know, like that means something. You know, don't talk to me. I've got what I need. I've never, to this day, I've been in Guam 8 years, to answer to asking someone about their relationship with the Lord. Do they know where they're going to spend eternity? I'm Catholic. You know, like, I could say, I'm a redneck. You know, what's I'm Catholic got to do with? I know all what they mean, but it's silly just to say, I'm Catholic. Yes, somebody else had a hand up over here. Yes, ma'am.
Are there other religious influences there? Like, most times, the Mormons and Islamics, you know,
yes.
So many of them come in. Do you have others there?
Yes, ma'am. We have there's not many actual Mormon tabernacles or temples. We have one in Guam, just finished. It's big, it's beautiful. And because there's so much influence of the Mormons on Guam, it's hard to go to the airport without seeing some Mormons coming in. And in Maritza, we haven't had someone live there the last 2 years, but up to then, every 2 years, they come in, and they're all around the village, And that's what we get. When we get back in October, we'll get the same thing. Are y'all coming back again? You know, because they always, at first, how long are y'all staying? How long is your term? That's what we get. Why? Because of the Mormons. SDA, they're there constantly, never ends. They're everywhere. Almost every religion is there. There's a Muslim there. Yeah, I haven't never seen any in the south where we live, but they're on the island. Yeah, most definitely. Yes. Yes.
You mentioned that the storms like take out trees. Mangoes and papayas. Does that like cause major food shortages, like inflation or anything?
No, everything's imported into Guam. We don't live, now we have a lot of coconut trees. I mean, Stanley feeds our chickens coconut. They love coconuts. I use coconuts to practice bow and arrow for pigs, because if I can hit that that coconut from 25, 30 yards, I can hit a pig. But no, there's Everything's imported. That's why everything's so high. So the storm didn't do any damage, except it killed a lot of mango trees and some fruit trees and such. Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you asked. Some of you may have saw the generator running during the storm. That generator, I bought that from the man when he left in 2016. He had just paid, I can't remember the price, but I paid a lot for it. And it's been our friend because power goes out all the time, especially these storms. And not everybody around, especially our village, they don't have generators. So we had a generator to keep the refrigerator running, to keep my insulin cold, to cook and stuff like that, and to plug in one air condition. Okay, we'll plug in one air condition, one window unit. The other ones, the big ones that run it up, are the 220 units. They're called air cons over there. And we have one in my bedroom, the nursery, which is my office, and then the where we have our living room, and you saw the church space. What was that question again? Oh, yeah. The generator. So right before we're leaving, we're going out to the shed. We have a shed in the backyard. And looking for our suitcases that we keep wrapped up in black garbage bags so spiders and rats and snakes don't get in there. I said, Stanley, where's the generator? He said, I don't know. I thought somebody borrowed it. I said, nobody's borrowed it. So we go on this. Did we let somebody borrow it? Did the radio station ask to use it when the power went out? They needed one. What happened here? No one, everyone that I know. So it got pulled out. Crime is big in Guam. We've had bush cutters, which are big weed eaters, big handles. And we've had those stolen, several of them. And now we had, right before we came over here, we had our generator stolen. So we're looking and praying, and we want another one, but there, you know, God will supply. Because the storms hit, and it's nice to have a generator. Yeah, very nice. Good question tonight. Yes, sir. That we are willing to share. I'm willing to share just about anything. The joke man has a book that he wanted me to write things that need to be wiped out because it's already happened or still praying for. But one thing in there we had in there, 10 families. I would pray for one family, mom and dad, to get saved and then sell out and surrender to the Lord. We have ladies who come and bring their children, don't miss, but I need a father to stand up and to make a difference. Some of these teens, and I was going to share this, but we've got some teens that are getting it. They're really getting that God is good and that His Word is truth and that you can trust Him beyond salvation. You know, everybody gets saved. They want to get saved. And we don't allow anybody, you know, I want to get saved. We have to, it's in God's hands, but we just don't allow anybody just come to our church. I want to get saved because that happens. Lord's been working in their heart for years, and they come under conviction to get saved. And next thing you know, their friends say, I want to get saved. But someone who is going to want to stand up and stay focused on serving the Lord and surrendering their life. So a family, an individual or two of teens. And then we have so much contact with the teachers. The mayor's office. In Guam, the mayor's office, you may say, a mayor's office. The mayor's a big guy. He has so much authority. He runs everything in the villages. And we've had good contact with the mayor and now the upcoming one who's going to be taken over once we get back. I would love to see a teacher or one of the officials down there saved. Because everything else is just the normal stuff. I could tell you stories about everything, but the Lord laid it on my heart as I was talking to not leave out of obviously. One, our vehicle is almost shot. Okay, the 15-passenger van, the floor is rotted out because of the sand and the seawater and the flooding all the time. I have planks of boards so that the kids don't fall through. We have a fund right now for a van, but with all the construction and all the military all coming in, people have asked us, can we buy your van sitting there? Okay? A vehicle, and then to pray about the Lord opening up and providing a location. Because many of the people down there have told us, these Catholics are not going to a house. They're not going to a house. Even though we can sit about 50, 60 max, and we have, it's a house. And we need a place. And there's not a lot in Barrizo. But just last week, my wife in all read an email. The radio station, it's a shortwave radio. It's KTWR. Anything west of the Mississippi begins with a K. Trans World Radio. It's been there 50 years. It's where Revis, miraculously, and Joseph got their first job, where they saved up both. Joseph, especially for college. He was 15, Revis was 17. That's a story in and of itself. It'd take 20 minutes to tell it, but it was praying about a job. There's nothing in the South to go up that far for them jobs, and this man comes to the door. I've noticed you got a couple of teenage boys. We're looking to hire. And we need some maintenance guys. So that started it. Revis went on to get his climbing license, all of the skills that he has now because he was there. And Stanley was looking forward to going. Reagan and Noel was cleaners up there, got paid minimum, but they would clean once a week, sometimes twice. And when I say minimum, it was minimum. But they would go up there, had keys, fobs to the place. Very nice radio station. And Stanley, like I said, even Christian, because Christian's 13, was looking forward to working for that radio station. And they announced last week that after 50 years, they are closing down on October 31st. And Revis called bawling because it's a shock to all of us. We really can't believe it. It's a nice place. It's up on the hill. And I started thinking immediately, Lord, you do the impossible. They know us well. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know what they're going to ask for it, if they're going to transfer it to somebody else. I don't know, but I will be praying and I will be talking to the guys who know us very, very well. And Joseph learned CPR 2 years before my heart attack right there. Since we came back, we all as a family have our American Red Cross certified CPR training. So it was a big loss to us. It was a big loss to us. But perhaps, just maybe, I've always wanted to get on higher ground. My wife has a place down there. As you come into Marizo, it's still beach level. And I've always had my eye on higher ground. And perhaps that's it. Yes?
You mentioned the Democratic government there.
Uh-huh. It's a good question. Everything in Guam is slower. Everything. Okay? Our folks at church are getting it, most of because we pick them up, but the ones who come drive theirself or whatever, service starts at 10, they'll, you know, come sometime around 10:20, something like that. That's just the people, very laid back. The government, only things, you know anything about the states, it's a small California. Okay? If Hawaii does it, the next day our governor will do it. Okay? Everything. We have senators, we have representatives, everything, but they have no say in the states. They have no say. They're just quasi. They're just there. But they do, you know, control the island. Very democratic.
We have the same protest. We have the LGBT yes. protest. We have the Palestinian protest. But it's never been so far violent. So far. It's been,
yeah.
You know, just silent protest. But there's all those groups of people there.
Our lieutenant governor, and lieutenant governor is big over there. Our lieutenant governor is homosexual. And they embrace that. He's big over there. Yes, ma'am.
How does it work for you, both in Guam and in the States, because you're in both places at different times, with getting your medications filled?
Good question. Yeah.
And, you know, coverage and all that stuff. How does that work?
Multiply your troubles by 100.
I mean, and I say you because you've spoken that you're on medication.
Yeah.
Try to
shorten it up, like I said, it's difficult. Our pharmacies don't have a lot of stuff that I need. It's very, very expensive, but praise God, the insulin company that I has a program, and they've had it for years. How long now?
Since COVID.
Where I can get my insulin pretty cheap. The problem is the one I'm on, they don't carry it in Guam. So I have to have it sent over, and we get it done by, what's the fast one? Your mom sends it in the
flat rate box
as quick as you can get. She puts ice packs and all kind of stuff. So that's how I get my insulin. So my insulin will get there. It's just difficult. It's long. It's hard. But God provides. He does. He's provided miraculously. I was just sharing with Shalissa. I have a Freestyle Libra on my arm. Praise God for that. A lady in our church in Taylor, South Carolina, just the other day came by, and because her insurance company gives her too much, I got a lot of insulin, and I got a Dextran for the first time ever. So when this runs out, I'm going Dextran for at least 3 weeks. I don't know. How long did it last?
10 days.
How long?
10 days.
10 days. Okay, because I got 1 month of Dextran. But after that's over, I'll go back to my Freestyle Libra, and they have a program, a voucher that I qualify for, and it's fairly cheap. So I can answer it, ma'am, by just telling you that God's never let me down. No matter where I've been, He's provided. And some of the stories I could tell you would just blow your mind. And you could just say, you will say, that's God. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Can you accommodate short-term missions?
Yes. We can accommodate you too. I'd have to get my, you know, he gets me so many times. He got me 3 or 4 more times after church. Just obvious stuff that I should know. But yeah, we'll take short-term missionaries. Our house is rather large. Our girls' bedroom, we could accommodate, you know, has like what? Can sleep a lot. And then with more people leaving, our bedrooms are opening up. So it's never happened so far on both furloughs and even heart attack. People want to come, and we've had it already, and we said it's open. You get there, our home is open to you. And you can serve and minister however you want to stay. We'll make it work. It's open. We've yet to have a pastor from any supporting church come. So we've had many who says the last furlough, I don't know if it was you, I'm not going to look over there. But several were on these big anniversaries, and we were like, come to Guam. It's a nice long flight, but it's a beautiful place, and you could see and take part of the ministry. So, if everybody came that says they would like to, or even act like they're planning to, it would be all year. So, yeah, just don't come in February. That's the coolest part of Guam, and we want you to feel sorry for us. It really, that's the coolest part. We have some breezes. It's not guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed on Guam. They say, if it's raining, wait a minute, it'll stop. And if it's not raining, wait a minute, it'll start. So the lowest temperature in Guam, recorded history, is 67. And we've experienced a few 69s, and it feels like it's freezing. All the folks in church have come with coats on and hoods on at 69 degrees. So imagine when we got here, New York City, January the 30th, and it was like 14 degrees. And we had nothing on. And we're waiting in LaGuardia, outside LaGuardia, waiting and waiting and waiting for my son-in-law to get there. And he had a huge, what was it? Transit, but it was too tall for where we were at. So we, after all this wait, we had to transfer to a different level. Cold. It's cold here. Yeah. So leaving South Carolina the other day, I packed all of my long sleeve sweatshirts, anything hot. I said, summer is finally here. We got to Oxford, Pennsylvania. It was kind of warm. A couple hours later, it's raining. We woke up. It was freezing. The pastor has a hoodie on. I said, I have nothing. So, yeah. Pastor said this is okay. I want you to get to know us. I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm just going to stop right now. Jessie, my oldest daughter, who was here when we first came, she's married to Andrew Montoro. He's a pastor at Community Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. They're doing great. They have our three grandchildren. We got there. I told you this morning she barely got there and delivered Vivian Jane. And anyway, he's doing great. I love Andrew. Happy Father's Day, Andrew, if you happen to listen tonight. And then my oldest son, William, stayed in South Carolina as we left. He is doing well. He's not where he should be, but he's doing well. He wants to follow the Lord. He wants to finish up at Falls Baptist Church. And with Joseph being the assistant pastor, and he just married Sophia, and they started their ministry today. David, there at Fellowship, or Andrew, I don't know. anyway, they started with Jerry down there, Jerry Acosta. They know who that is. And they moved into the parsonage where we've been staying, so we got kicked out. We have no place to go in South Carolina now. Why did I say that? Yeah, William didn't feel like he should be at Fellowship because people, they look up to William. He's 6'8". Everybody looks up to him. But they really, even through some of the troubles, they want him to be there. They want him to serve. He thought maybe it'd be better just to get away for a while. So he's moving in with my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, and he's going to be going. We have two supporting churches in the area. He's trying to see which the Lord wants him to go to. He went to one Wednesday night. He went to another this morning. So pray for William. And then Revis. Revis is assistant pastor and youth pastor, just making a great impact there at Sioux City Baptist Church. It's amazing what God's doing through him. It's just amazing. They're expecting July 21st. Thus, we will be heading out there. We got some churches out there we're going to visit. And that's it, isn't it? That's everybody in our family. So we have, now I'll do it. Stand up, Maggie. Maggie's our oldest girl with us now. She just turned, just turned 21. And she's going back to Baptist College of Ministry for her senior year this year. And Maggie is, she's the best massager in the world. And she keeps Daddy on that shuttle. She'll come every other hour and rub my shoulders and everything. I'm not making a lie. She really is the best massager in the world. Because everybody up at BCM, even the teachers, make appointments with her. They do. Not bragging, I'm just telling you fact, okay? Next is Reagan. Stand up, Reagan. Reagan is 19. She'll be 20 very soon in August. And Reagan, Keowen, doesn't call her mom as much now, but for the last 2 years in Guam, that's mom. A lot of other girls in Guam who just wanted to come too, but it wasn't possible, call her mom. And Reagan just loves all children, and she is a blessing to our ministry. And it's going to continue there until the Lord gives her a husband, just like Maggie. Then we have Stanley. Stand up, Stanley. Oh, Noel. You're too short, Noel. Noel just graduated from Gospel Light Christian Academy and had her senior recital last week. It was a blessing. And Noel, like I said, has a desire to attend Baptist College of Ministry. Then we have, and we're going to miss Noel. I mean, she plays our piano and lots of other things. These girls have driver license, so if I need something, they can go. So we're losing people to go run errands and stuff and pick up people. Stanley is 15. Stanley is our pianist now, so we really appreciate Stanley and his chicken farm and everything. Stanley has never met a stranger. I don't think, that's something I'll talk about this week. None of our children have met a stranger. If they run into you, you're their best friend, okay? It's not always good. You got to be able to discern, but that's them. Christian just turned 13, and Christian is Mr. Everything. Christian is our small Revis, and you don't want to know all that, but Christian is 13. Praise God for Christian. Karen, stand up, Karen. Karen is 10, and Karen is just like I just described Reagan. She's just a little mama to everybody, especially our nursery sometimes has, what, 10, 11, 12 babies in it. And you know who the nursery workers are? We've finally got some teens who are rotating in and out, but it's my girls, my wife, Deborah, and Karen. They love them. They love them. Absolutely love them. Karen was saved, when was it, Karen? For 2021, the house we're staying in right now. I preached at Mount Zion Baptist Church over in Brogue, Pennsylvania. And that night, Karen wanted to get saved. And we went back to the house, and on the bedroom bed, she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. So it's a special place for Karen. And then Deborah, you stand up. Deborah is 8. Deborah is our little chamarita. She was born in Guam, so she's really Guamanian, okay? I don't quite have the skin color, but everybody loves Deborah. Deborah has been holding babies since she was a baby. Really. If there's a baby in here, and I hadn't seen many, but if they were a baby, she would be holding it. And then Keelan, stand up. Keelan is 10 years old. We're her foster parents. And what's that? She just had a birthday. Keelan is 11. Old woman. So, old little girl. How's that? Okay. So Keelan's a blessing to us. Let me give you an update on my health. A lot of you have asked. My heart attack was October 29th, 2022. I came to States to be with William. We thought it was impossible when he called because it wasn't time to come to the States. We didn't have money to come to the States and couldn't leave the ministry. But I got off the phone with him. My wife was listening, and she said, he needs his daddy. I said, I know. I hadn't seen William much. William had left Guam in February of 2017 after we arrived. So I hadn't seen him much. Couple of Christmases and furlough in 2021 to wedding for Jesse. Hadn't seen him much. So I needed to get there. I knew it. So we prayed about it, called Brother Jim Van Gelderen, who he was traveling with. He said, Bill, if you can get over here, get over here. I called my pastor. He said, Bill, if you can get over here, get over here. So after praying a couple of days, I got over there, spent a week with him, really at Shrewsbury, right down the road. That's where we spent our time. The following Friday, I flew out. I went to Washington, D.C., got lost, put the rental car in the wrong place. But let me back up. My wife said, Maggie and Joseph have called and said, if you don't come visit them, they're going to be mad. And I said, well, I got a ticket. I got to fly out tomorrow to Tokyo and then Guam. And she said, hold on. She called me back hours later and she said, well, you're going to Milwaukee to visit them for 3 days. So I arrived at Milwaukee on a Friday night. Spent some time with Maggie and Joseph walking around Menominee Falls, a beautiful place. Went to my apartment. Maggie spent the night with me. Joseph didn't. Next morning, she went off to outreach with Joseph doing something. I stayed back, rested and everything. Worked out. I worked out every single day. And went over to the school and just did a few things, played some basketball, and then started throwing frisbee in the parking lot with the, some students, Maggie and Joseph. Started feeling bad, leaned against the car. They're asking what's wrong. I said, I don't know, I just don't feel good. And they said, you okay? You need to go? And I said, no, I'll be all right. After about a minute, I felt a lot better. So I started throwing frisbee again. And Maggie's actually got some video. She didn't know anything was going on. She's just videotaping Dad throwing frisbee. And then one time she turns around and Dad is leaning against the car again. And that's when it hit me that something's wrong. But the only thing I felt was, as I describe it, coming down with the flu very fast. Perfectly healthy and then, wow, something's wrong. So I said, Joseph, I said, just take me back to the apartment. So as we're leaving the parking lot, they needed to go to Walmart. They were very concerned about me. And I said, go ahead, I'll sit in the car. So we drove one more minute, and I said, no, I can't go to Walmart. Let's get over there. So as I'm getting there, and we're only 3 or 4 minutes away from the school, I walk into the apartment, I lay on the floor. They said, why are you laying on the floor? I said, I don't know, I just want to lay on the floor. And I'm going to get very graphic here, but she's talking to Mama in Guam, and Mama's saying, call 911. And I get up, and I have to go to the bathroom, and I am just sick. No heart pain, no pressure, no nothing. I hear Mama talking to Maggie, or who was she talking to? Joseph. And she said something about a heart attack. I said, I'm not having a heart attack. Next thing I know, there's a doctor in my face, says, Mr. Henderson, you just had a major heart attack. So Joseph started giving me CPR. Right before Joseph's graduation, the American Red Cross honored him with the American Red Cross Life-Saving Award. It's not that many that goes out all around the world. It was amazing. The head guy was there to give it there. It falls on one of their awards day. And Joseph was there, and as the doctor has said many times, he saved your life because he knew what he was doing, and he gave me CPR for 6-7 minutes until the ambulance got there. And I told you this morning, Maggie was kicking me because she wasn't going to let Daddy go. She said, they were praying, they were screaming out to God, crying out to God, and they did the defibrillator. And after the second try, it worked. There's more to it, but only thing you need to know is I'm here today. And 2 years later, which was last November, almost 2 years today, I'm sitting in my office, and the doctors said, if you have another heart attack, more than likely, you're going to have the same symptoms. Okay? So remember what your symptoms was. And I was like, I don't want to have those symptoms because I felt like I had the flu. And we all get the flu, so every time I get the flu, I'm going to feel like I'm having a heart attack. But that day in my office, it was just getting bad quick, and I told my wife, she said, we got to go. So we went up to the doctor first, and they couldn't find nothing, EKG, anything, but I was feeling that way. And they sent us home, and she didn't want to go home because it's a long drive and it's a long way to the hospital. I said, hey, I'm in the Lord's hand, let's go home. So the next day it felt worse, so we went up to the ER. They said, what's your problem? I said, I feel like it's my heart, so they took us right back, which was amazing. They're known for long waits there. And after a couple hours of every test under the moon, they said, everything looks fine. The only thing we can do now is go in catheter. Someone mentioned that the other day. And, that was my church. Someone mentioned that. And I set up that, and I don't know. It wasn't immediate, but we went to the hospital. Not a hospital, a medical center. And they went through my arm, me awake. Other ones, I wasn't awake. During my heart attack, they put a stent. And later on, they needed to check because I wasn't feeling good. They went in again. But both times, I was asleep. This time, I was awake. Folks, I felt something in my heart. That is a feeling that you don't want to feel because he's in there. But as I'm feeling it, I'm laying there, and he's going, that looks good. There was two of them, two doctors. That looks really good. That looks really good. Man, that looks good. Let's get out of here. That's what he said. And he looked at me, he came over, and he said, well, whatever you've been doing, keep doing it, because everything looks fine. Everything looks fine. That's the last problem I really had. That was November of last year. So that's the update. Just be praying for us. One of the questions that everyone kept asking around the heart attack time is, are you going back? And that was never even a thought in my mind that I wouldn't go back. God miraculously saved me. It wasn't my time. And I was called to Guam. And it's just a blessing to be able to serve Him. And lack of medicine and doctors or not. And my children know it. My family know it. But I serve a great God. That's where we're at health-wise. Anything else? Great questions tonight. Great question. I didn't even have to use my question, my joke question about people not asking questions, but you did. Any more? Anymore. Well, Pastor, I did have a short message prepared, but it's running late, and you said use discretion. What do you think? I mean, you said focus on Guam, and those were some good questions. There might be some few questions if somebody want to ask me personally or whatever. We're good? Amen. I'll tell you what my message was. And the brother back there, I think that's Zachary? Zachary, what was the name of it?
I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed. I told you this morning when you were singing that, I'm not ashamed. I'll tell you the three points of it. God's called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so many times the reason we don't share it is because we're ashamed. The shame there means... just, to me, it means afraid or worried about what other people may think. And I saw an illustration that I'm not going to read. I had a long one to read of a pastor who lost his son at the age of one, sudden death in syndrome. He went to the hospital. I'm shortening it up a lot. He went to the hospital. He finally got him there. He said he figured it would be better for me to rush him there than to wait for help, sobbing all the way to the hospital. And finally, he said, this door swung open. They came and took his little boy. He said, but while they went through the door, he fell on his knees and started crying out to God for help. And he said, the people all around said, what's wrong with this guy? Is he a fanatic? Is he a nut? And he said, I didn't care. I didn't care. I was not ashamed to cry out to my God. So the message was, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know why he wasn't ashamed? Because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed because of the purpose of the gospel, salvation. And he wasn't ashamed because the power of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Folks, all through Scripture, and even the song this morning, folks, we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't care what anybody thinks when it comes to witnessing. We are to water, plant, and water. It's God that giveth the increase. So what if someone throws to, like McDonald's, one of our first churches we visited. I handed a motorcycle guy a track right outside McDonald's. He looked at it, flipped on the ground, stepped on it. So what if he does that? We're obeying God, and we're giving someone the opportunity to see that they're sinners who need to be saved. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to proclaim it, to live it. Amen? Amen. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you.